And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Oh, you're kidding me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a Memphis edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast, a series extending edition. Marcus Thompson is with me in the Memphis press room hours after the worst playoff loss of the Kerr era, I would say. Steve Kerr not even on the sidelines again tonight. I wouldn't expect him to be on the sidelines in game six, but they lose by 39. They were down by, 55 at one point?
55 was the most I saw. I thought it was going to get to 60. It was bad.
Moses Moody helped it not get to 60. They pulled the starters down 41 with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Wow.
Yeah, that's a disaster. And the crazy part is it wasn't from the beginning. Like, it really happened with like a minute left. It began with like a minute left in the first quarter. Like, so it wasn't even like it was an onslaught from the beginning. They flipped that switch and just... Man, they just boat raced the Warriors, who didn't look to be very interested in stopping it.
Yeah, I mean, look, 22 turnovers is probably the worst stat for them tonight. And you mentioned that end of the first quarter. It was like a one-point game with like 130 or so left in the first quarter. And the turnovers are really bad in that stretch where it's Steph's bringing the ball up the court. He's putting his mouth guard in while throwing a pass. Gets picked off, Melton three. That end of the first quarter sequence where Jordan Poole just throws a terrible bounce pass in traffic, and then after they pick it off, he just goes over and Euro fouls, takes the transition foul while they're in the bonus, gives the Grizzlies two free throws at the end of the quarter. And then, yes, it was kind of a blowout after that, but actually, there was a moment, it's about 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Mike Brown had gone defense first by going to the Looney Draymond front court, and they had a little momentum building, down 11, got a rebound, can cut it now to single digits with 4 minutes left in the first half. And then that was the play where Steph hit Draymond with a bounce pass, and he just straight up dropped it.
Yeah, he just lost it. I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, and then so if he catches that, he's got a pretty advantageous situation where it should be a layup and it should be 9 at that point. Instead, Melton just picks up the drop, just an easy drop in his hands, hits a 3, it's 14. They come down, another turnover, another bad turnover, it's 16. They come down, and Draymond, it's when he threw the ball out of bounds, eventually an and-one, and it's 19. That is when the game ends.
Yeah, and they, to me, there was just a part where it was time to say, all right, let's get serious. Let's knuckle down. And they went the other way, right? They went the hey, nothing is working, so let's kind of feed it, right? Like, even the play where he threw it out of bounds, like, you can't even see Steph the way they were guarding him. Like, you can't see him. So it's not like you could even read what was happening. He just kind of threw it, hoping Steph would cut. It's like, that's not the play you need right there. Well, like,
it's almost one of those like protest pass he makes where it's like, I think you should be doing this. Yeah. You're not doing this. Well, look, I'm throwing it over there because that's where you should be. But also the other problem, and I put two screenshots in the story I did, really looking at the issue. And that's the moment where Looney and Draymond are on the floor together. And they had purposely, like all series, had not put them together because they thought they'd have spacing issues. Memphis, once they did, and I got it at the time. Why? Because they couldn't rebound, they couldn't defend. Okay, let's try something. But Memphis went so, like, they sagged. They had Jaren Jackson guarding Draymond Green. He's sagging way off, obviously. And then Adams was ignoring Looney, was sitting in the paint. And you know, you look at the screenshot of the play we're talking about. I mean, Adams is, even if you could get that pass through, Adams is sitting right there, and it's an immediate double team. Looney's on the wing by himself. So the spacing issue is a problem. Now, I don't think we're going to see the full Looney-Draymond lineups very much in Game 6, or maybe not at all. But the Draymond offensive issue is increasing.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm putting this on the Warriors coaching. Like, they're trying to force their system to work against the Grizzlies, who – but it actually feeds the Grizzlies. Like, they're saying – they're basically saying, hey, you guys need to be different. Be different than who you've been all year. It's like, this is who they are. They turn the ball over. They make rope passes. It's part of it. And Memphis is jumping it. They're doing absolutely no isolation. Like, none. It's five passes every time. And they're letting Draymond run the point. Like, while and letting them sag off. To me, they've got to switch it up. They've got to say, listen, we're going to do it a different way. We're going to attack them a different way. And do it from the beginning, right? Don't wait till you're down. This is what they keep doing. And I understand the first, five games they got down and they managed to, like, stave it off and make it a game or take the lead. And it felt like, you know, they were like, yeah, we're just going to do that again, right? They're going to get off to a hot start. We're going to do that again. But then it didn't work. And I do think this Memphis lineup presents some problems, right? They're essentially the only thing that's open is mid-range. They got the two guys at the rim. Like, there are some plays where Jaren Jackson is just running from wherever he is to block the shot at the rim. Like, so they don't even drive. They, like, drive, but they're not looking to shoot or anything. And then, you know, obviously they're pressing up on a three, so their mid-range is open. But in that situation, they're just like, hey, keep running our offense. It's like, no, you can't do that. Not against this team. You're essentially feeding them. You're telling Jordan Poole, you're telling Draymond, you're telling Steph Curry, to, all right, we need you to not make any risky passes or make any mistakes. This just ain't going to happen. That's not who they are.
Draymond, 24 points and 20 turnovers in this series total.
Yeah, that's rough. But, you know, there was a part in this game where early I thought he played it really well. Adams is sagging back off of him, and he at least got in closer, right?
He had a floater,
but then he got in the lane and made the pass. Instead of making the pass from 30 feet out, he ate up some of that gap, and now he forced the defense to react because he's at the dotted line, and then he can make a pass. But to me, it's just a bad strategy to the point, Draymond. It's just a bad strategy.
There's somewhat of an issue, though, like, because Draymond, as the stationary corner shooter, is not great either.
He's a screener. He's the best screener. Let him set
just,
the screen.
Just high screen.
Yeah, high screen. You don't want seven passes on this team. To me, every pass is an opportunity for the Grizzlies to do what they do. Like, that's how I look at it. I mean, I know I sound like KD a little bit, but it's like all you're doing is moving the ball for the sake of moving the ball, and they're preying on it. And you need all five guys to be on point and locked in and strong with the ball and efficient with the cuts, right, to make it all work. It's just a lot. It's just in all of that. If you take away their opportunities to get steals, you kind of take out the lifeblood of their defense. And the way to do that, just screen. Or even ISO. Just go ISO.
So, if you really look at them offensively in this series, Klay, who shot it pretty well tonight and obviously did in the Game 3 blowout, and in the other few games has shot it really inefficiently. Steph Curry is, you know, I think he's 32-ish percent from three, hasn't had a huge game. Five threes is the most he's hit in a game. I mean, he just hasn't exploded, and a lot of that is the way they're playing him. But they've been good, particularly you can remember Game 1, when Jordan Poole just really got going. I mean, he scores 31 in Game 1, 20 in Game 2, 27 in Game 3. But this, it's playing out very similarly to the Denver series where he was spectacular in Games 1, 2, 3, 30, 29, 27. Denver adjusted to him, got physical. Aaron Gordon, whatever, he was really bad in 4 and 5, 11 and 8, 3 of 10 shooting both nights. Well, in this Memphis series, he gets 14 points and 4 turnovers in Game 4 on 4 of 12 shooting. He was bad. Tonight was his worst game of the playoffs by far. This is his worst game, like, in months. Yeah. 3 points, 1 of 6 shooting, 4 turnovers, completely out of it. I mean, he got hit in the head by a ball at one point, crunched by a screen. He's, like, blinking with one eye half the time. And, you know, you talk to some people that are curious, you know, wondering, hey, maybe the Ja Morant situation and what happened, because that happened between games 3 and 4, if that throttled him a bit and it has shooken him up. I mean, it's not like he's being blamed. He wasn't even getting booed in the arena tonight, so I don't think it's some crazy thing. But maybe that changed the series a little bit for him. But that has been – he's stunk tonight. And, like, if he stinks, they don't have – like, he is their offensive answer, right? He's why we suddenly think they thought they could be a title contender, because he was elevating his game so much. And, like, that has disappeared the last couple games.
And then you throw him and Draymond in the mix. Now you got – him, you got 2 of the 4 key players not playing well, so that's just kind of unbearable. But I do kind of also attribute that to the attack. It's like, you know, the first 3 games, like, he's blown by Tyus Jones every time, and now they're like, Tyus Jones doesn't have to do anything. And it's a big part of it is because even if you blow by him, you're facing, you know, Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson, so they got to figure out a way to get those dudes on an island again and still somehow be able to attack the rim, because they can't just – unless they just get hot from 3. But that's the thing we're not seeing. We've seen Grizzlies get hot from 3. We have not seen the Warriors kind of go crazy from 3. Like, was it 18 threes tonight from Memphis? You know, the Warriors seem to top out at 13-14 at not the greatest efficiency. So they could really use one of them games where they go crazy from 3 – that's kind of the way you loosen up. But otherwise, it's like, man, tough twos. And I don't know if Jordan Poole is a tough 2 yet against strong defense.
Yeah, I mean, he can be when he's really aggressive to the rim. And, you know, he's getting those quick up and under layups and stuff like that. I mean, he had a nice dunking game 3. I don't know. He just seems mentally, like, a little bit discombobulated.
Flustered. Yeah, he's very flustered. There was a look like a point he got crunched on the screen. It looked like he was asking to come out. Like, he put his hand up.
He did. That was after he had just gotten Otto Porter just, I think it, no, it was Zaire Williams threw a pass that just hit him, like, in the eye. And he was just, he spent the rest of the game just, like, kind of blinking with one eye.
Yeah, he just seemed a bit, he was definitely out of it. But you know what, man? These dudes haven't been through this before, right? Like, some of these guys on this team, they haven't been through this before. And I just think that's more important now. Like, I think it matters. I know we're like Steph, Clay, Draymond, but they don't have that peak in them every game like they used to. So now those other guys start mattering a lot, you know. And I do think this is a bad matchup for them. This is a tough matchup. They got a guy they can put somebody – they can do what they do to Steph and put somebody on Jordan Poole and still have a guy for Clay Thompson. Not a lot of teams can do that. So it's a tough matchup, but
– well, it gets tougher – on the offensive side for them when Ja's out, yes. You know. And we saw in game 4 where Memphis missed Ja Morant, which was down the stretch, you know, when he's basically walked them to wins with just his – that's what he did in game 2. It's why Memphis won game 2. But without Ja Morant over the course of 48 minutes, it is much tougher for the Warriors to score. They scored 95 points tonight. What did they finish game 101, and it was like, you know.
And it was like a big fourth quarter to save them, like 39 points in the fourth quarter.
So they just don't have those, like, smaller areas to attack. Now, while they weren't dragging Ja Morant into isolation and hunting him, it was like Wiggins, you know, would get a duck in post up. Somebody would get an offensive rebound because they slipped by Ja. There just wasn't as much of a fortress behind him. And they weren't playing Steven Adams, right? Once Ja Morant left, they said, let's just lean into, like, big bully ball defense. And it is working. But there, like you said, there's also ways to combat it, even if it's against the Steve Kerr ethos, without Steve Kerr even in the building.
I know. You know, the other part is they've got to figure out is, like, Memphis starts every game on fire. And they get behind every game. So it's like they kind of got to do something about that. They keep saying, oh, Jaren Jackson, go ahead, take all them threes. And he's hitting those things. And then the way Bane looked tonight, like, he looked like he had a shot of something, because he was looking like himself. So.
And he said postgame he's starting to feel like himself. Yeah. That's a concern for the Warriors.
Yeah, that's a big concern for the Warriors. So it there's definitely – they just can't be okay with getting down double digits to start a game, right? And they start the game in the same kind of passive-aggressive way. Meanwhile, Memphis is, like, going at them to start. They got all this energy and all this hype, and the Warriors are just banking on, oh, eventually you'll come back to earth.
Well, you know what tells us that the most? They keep trying Jonathan Kuminga as a starter. That's three straight games. That lineup, I believe, it's, like, minus 21 in the series total. They've gotten down big right away with Kuminga starting. Now, both of Kuminga's previous starts, they went to Otto Porter to start the second half. Tonight, Otto Porter can't play in the second half because of right foot soreness. I'm kind of believing that was like, hey, we're down by so much, rest him. We'll see. I mean, his status, I'd say at this point, I guess, is up in the air for game six. But they didn't even go back to Kuminga. They tried Bielitsa in the second half. Maybe they try some Bielitsa in game six. I don't know. But I don't, at this point, think it should be Kuminga. And I don't even really think it's Kuminga's fault, but, like, that lineup's not working.
It's clearly not working. Whatever it is, don't matter whose fault it is, it doesn't work. And, you know, it makes sense. Like, I get it, theoretically, why Kuminga would work. You need somebody who can punish the rim. And I do think if Kuminga was playing with a certain mindset, it could work. But we aren't seeing him going in trying to dunk it on people, right? We're seeing him... He really want to take that three, but he keeps, like, talking himself out of it. But if he's going to be in, he's got to be that guy to put pressure on the rim. And even when he gets inside, they're taking fadeaways. They're getting to a point, they're turning, and they're fading away from contact instead of going to it. And he can't be that guy. And, you know, especially with defensively what he's costing them. So, yeah, to me, they just –
Who would you start in game six in that fifth spot?
Otto Porter, if he's available.
If Otto Porter's not available, who would you start?
Oh, now you're getting tough at this point. I'd probably start Jordan Poole.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box, and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
I might start Jordan Poole regardless and, like, you know, have a long off day conversations, which I'm sure they're going to have about the need to go get this game. But, I mean, it's risky, obviously, against the big lineup, but if you offensively attack in more of a high screen type of way.
If they go high screen, if they like saying we're done with this on the perimeter pass and motion offense, we're going at dudes, then I'll say start Jordan Poole. But if they're not doing that, if they're not doing that, I'm like, you know, I guess I might be making a mistake of overreacting to how they got pounded on the boards, right? They did compete well on the boards in game.
They've won the rebounding battle every game until tonight.
But against, like, the big lineup, they did compete well. Tonight, they just got obliterated.
Well, that's Porter, right?
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking. You want Otto Porter in there because you need somebody in there, like, competing for the boards. But to me, the issue is how do they score against this defense? To me, that's a big issue. So that does suggest throw Poole out there. But Poole just hasn't been good. Like, so, you know, in theory, it's fine, but he's kind of got to play well.
Yeah, but to me, like, they are not going to certainly not win the next series. They're not a title threat if, like, you get bad Jordan Poole. So they just got to, I think, hope they get good Jordan Poole, because good Jordan Poole is, like, their second best player. Like, it's just what he has been. If they get bad Jordan Poole, they're in trouble regardless. I'm just saying, your ceiling on the Poole lineup is much higher than some of the other options.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, like, you're right. Some of it is, too, you got to figure out how to work through bad performances. You know, like, that's a big part of it. You know, the question isn't, like, do you get good Poole? The question is, how do you create good Poole? Like, how do you put him in position to where he can be that dude? Like, Tyus Jones just can't guard him, period. You can't guard him. So there's a matchup you can take advantage of. I do feel like they got to switch up their offense a little bit. But what does that do for their defense is the real question, because they are going at Jordan Poole. Like, they see him out there. He's got a target.
Anderson is he really is. Come on, like, oh, let me ISO against Poole. He's just trying to get the switch on the pool and then go at him. It's like when you got Kyle Anderson feeling himself offensive.
Feeling froggy on you? Oh, yeah. He looks pretty good against Jordan Poole, too, though.
Anything else from this game?
Oh, man, there was so much from this game. What do you think of this? It's a little bit crazy. I know it's garbage time, but didn't that Moses Moody look like he got some of the traits you want? I'm not talking about 20 minutes, but...
Yes, he does. I mean, it could be the Damian Lee minutes, theoretically. I mean, very similar position, size, you know, game, really. But I just... It's probably too late in this experience to just suddenly be like Moses Moody, who you've been inactive for 2 months.
Man, he's 19, he good, he young. Young legs.
They went to be elites tonight. Sure. But to me, Moses Moody has already hit the check mark you wanted as his rookie season. I'm like, you know what? Moving forward, this is a guy who can help. I just can't imagine game six Moses Moody's in the rotation.
Yeah, that's a wild thought, right? Yeah, Moses, get out here in the game. We got to win. I was just thinking, like, you're going to have to deal with Bane. You know,
that's Clay, and like, you know who, like, Draymond's credited Steph for playing Bane well defensively in the series. Like, to me, it comes down to the stars. Draymond Green has to play much better, has to be much more careful with the ball, has to exploit, you know, their defensive strategy against him. Clay Thompson might need to summon game six Clay, by the way, it is a game six. And then Steph Curry's just got to have a good shooting night, and Poole's obviously got to play.
Well, Steph's got to be more aggressive, right? He just spends the first few minutes of the game, like, running the offense. He's got to be more aggressive to start the game. He's got to attack to start the game. He's got to see Steven Adams out there and say, okay, let's go. And they got down, and then he started, all right, let me take some shots here. But that needs to be his mindset from the beginning. He still has not one time just taken Dylan Brooks off the dribble. I think you can do it. I don't think Dylan Brooks is Jrue Holiday by any means. I feel like if you do that and get this dude in foul trouble, or even get him into this mindset of, oh my gosh, I can't let Steph Curry beat me, you're already in their heads from the beginning. Just take that dude. Yeah. Some of it is that.
Hit a shot on him early and be like, bet you can't answer, you know, DB.
To me, that's what they just kind of let him off the hook by not actually ever attacking him. You know, there was one possession. I think it was Jordan Poole had Steven Adams out on him or something like that. And they were and they forced the pass down to Draymond down low. And it's like, it's not even in their mind. Like, if this dude is on you, cook him. They're not even thinking that. They're thinking, oh, well, this means the paint is open. Let me dump it down. It's just a weird philosophy to have. To me, it would be like, all right, all game, Steven Adams, let's go. Come out here. Get out here now from the beginning.
It's funny. I was watching 2016 Thunder Warriors for a few reasons, but I was actually looking at like Westbrook defensive tape. But within that, I was watching some of Steph's threes, big threes in that series, and they're with Steven Adams on an island. And this is a younger, bouncier Steven Adams, and he like a Steven Adams that's much more capable than the current version of like actually sticking with him on the perimeter. He's just getting a little, and you know, it's a faster Steph Curry too, shiftier Steph Curry. I'm going to be honest. But it's like, that's how they won that Thunder series those last couple games was, you know, he just in key moments just got step back threes and or drives by Steven Adams.
I mean, yeah, I just think they need to do that more. The only time they really do ISO is when they're posting up Wiggins, which is to me it is a strategic error that, but it's clear with this team you kind of need all of that to be in line, right? You gotta have all of that. But I definitely agree with your assessment. If Steph has a big game, if Clay has a big game, if Draymond plays really well, they win. That's just
cool too, right? He can be roped into that. Meanwhile, Andrew Wiggins just going to be Andrew Wiggins. I'm sorry. What did you think of the way, I guess, the vibe of the Warriors postgame, particularly Draymond Green? Obviously, he has a situation where they're singing Whoop That Trick, and he's dancing with the crowd. And then postgame almost had, I don't want to say happy, but I wasn't happy, but it was like an unbothered press conference by him where he's basically, you know, saying can't be front runners. Well, you know, I don't know. Just what did you just think of, in general, the team's mood postgame after really the worst loss they've ever experienced in the playoffs?
I think there's some intelligence to it. If they lose this game by 15, then we're just saying, oh, Memphis holds on to their home court, right? Like, I mean, Denver did it, right? They had a chance to eliminate them, and they forced it. There's something like kind of normal about the fact that Memphis won this game, but it was more about how they won that was so alarming. So it makes sense for them to treat this like they lost by 15. With that said, you kind of talk that like it only matters if he doesn't go out and play well in game six. They go out and ball out in game six in the series, and it's like, yeah, we let them have their moment.
Remember that wild game five?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. That's what it turned out to. Yeah. To me, I do think, and this is the part that, like I wrote about, there we just kind of conflate this team with the championship teams. And you could see they have that mindset. Oh, we're just going to go win game six. And I'm like, but would you? Will you just go win it? Because then you don't do that. Now that looks crazy that you were out here. Like,
yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying? So it really only matters if they don't win game six. Then they could play the whole, we knew what was up from the beginning, right? This was nothing.
You don't doubt it?
Yeah, they can do that, which they absolutely will if they do win game six, because I just wrote about that.
But also, as a team that has blown a 3-1 lead and knows the embarrassment of that, and also the just how much that story gets retold and how much it can sting. Like, you know, that's if this they theoretically did blow this series, like that's a memorable moment
they
within it.
Never hear the end of it. They don't hear the end of the first 3-1. Can you imagine losing 3-1 to this team
with no job
right? Yeah, with this team. Oh man, they would never let them hear the end of it. So. Yeah, I mean, all of that aside, Memphis is a tough matchup. Like, we kind of knew.
They forced the most turnovers in the NBA, and the Warriors, even in their wins this series, have just been tossing it around the gym. But tonight's were particularly bad. You know, I watched the 22 turnovers. I mean, they are just so careless.
Yeah, that's rattled though. They were shook. They got rattled. They got out the moment. And I do feel like, I mean, Draymond's been like this all series, so it's not even like rattled. He's just not been playing well. I feel like Jordan got rattled and got out of himself. To me, that was the part. And, you know, I don't know if it's Mike or Steve doesn't do it either, but they have so much comfort and security in their offense. But it's like, man, dude, you could feel the vibe. It's time to put the ball into somebody's hands. And it's not one of those two, right? Like, they just don't kind of answer to those scenarios and moments, and it's like, hey, we're coming apart here. We're not running point through Jordan Poole, who can't get out of his own way right now. That's not what's happening, and that's what they do to me. That's where you could see the lack of urgency, and like they were just like, yo, hurry, we're down 14. All right, let's run the same set. Jordan, you're at the top. Like, what are you doing? Mike Brown, I think he didn't call his first time out, so they were down like 20.
And Mike Brown's playoff history actually was, you know, with the Warriors a little bit different. Remember Utah? I can remember him just spamming KD against Gobert high screen, and Durant kept getting 12-foot jumpers, 16-foot jumpers, walk-up threes because Gobert like, was dropping.
Not changing until they stop it. Yeah, that was his mindset.
And that was a Mike Brown coach series, a sweep. Probably will be a Mike Brown coach game six, but, you know, generally the strategy, Steve Kerr will be very much a part of the strategy in the lead up in these next 48 hours. He's been in the coaches' meetings on Zoom. The only difference is he's not making like in game timeouts, adjustments, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, I think that seems to be what we both believe is kind of like the clear correction needed is just like offensive strategy.
And they need the Grizzlies to not go crazy from three.
Which, you know, you're probably going to see more of the Grizzlies offense you saw in game four when it's back in Chase Center, but they almost lost to that offense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, all right, we'll talk to you, Friday night, game six. Pretty big one.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.